Okay, Supernaturals, we're live. This is your host, Beverly Hines. I am the host of the Supernaturals podcast and, of course, the founder of HairScripts, the platform that connects women like you and me experiencing varying levels of hair loss to dermatologists and trichologists for treatment, support, I mean, you name it. We need a community. And I am super excited about today's guest because today's guest has her own personal hair story, beauty story as a Black actress, model, and just co-founder, of course, and the co-host of the Beauty Needs Me podcast. And I'm just really excited about having Talia Griffin here today because I want her to talk about her experience and what led her to launching such an acclaimed podcast, honey. Talk about it.
Not acclaimed.
Yes, we're speaking it.
Hi, everyone. My name is Talia Griffin. I am the co-host and producer of the Beauty Needs Me podcast. We just started last June during Juneteenth, and this past January, we were nominated for an iHeartRadio podcast award in the beauty and fashion space. We were the only podcast hosted by Black women to be nominated, so it was a huge, huge honor. We did not win, but
that's okay. You won for us.
We did. We were in the building, in the virtual building.
Right.
My journey with beauty started when I was really young through my mother and my great grandmother and my two aunts. They are very minimalist beauty women. The focus is always on skincare health versus trying to cover up some imperfection. I was raised to know very early on, like, imperfections happen, if that's what we're even calling them. Like, my mother has freckles. One of my aunts has, like, dark circles under her eyes that she's never attempted to cover up with concealer ever. Okay. You know, so they are, their level of confidence is still astronomically higher than mine. I think because I'm growing up in a different time, but they kind of always instilled that in me. And it's been kind of the buffer between me and the world as I try to have my own beauty standards.
Right.
The reason for Beauty Needs Me was because I love podcasts, and I especially love beauty podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that there was only one podcast that's hosted by a Black woman. And she is amazing. She's extremely refined and comes from a more elite background than I do.
Okay, I'm curious, what's the name of that podcast?
What is her? It's Brooke DeVar, Naked Beauty.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, and she's also like a makeup girl and a DIY girl. And so I was like, you know, I think there's a space for us just, you know, regular lazy beauty girls who are still trying to find our way.
Right.
You know, like, I just got my eyebrows done for the first time like 4 months ago. Like, I'm really minimal.
I mean, judging by the flawlessness of your skin, you gotta tell us what you're doing, please. You don't have to.
I'm like, that's all skincare. Like, that's all skincare and very minimal makeup. Right now, I have on, what is it? Super Goop Unsun Sunscreen. And that's it.
Really?
That's it. Yeah. I did put on some concealer under my eyes. I used Tarte Shape Tape, but that was the basics. I did a little red lip liner with the Fenty lip gloss that everyone loves. I can't even think of that name.
Can you attribute your good skin to, you know, working with a dermatologist or just kind of like home, you know, remedies from your grandmother and from your mother?
I attributed it to research. Like, okay. I have studied my skin. I know what works for me. I have combo skin, and I know like that T-zone will be oily and around my mouth often gets dry. Okay. And so it is really trial and error to figure out kind of what works for you. But, you know, I've just tested it out. And right now I'm doing research regarding CBD because I started to use a Black-owned CBD face oil.
Okay.
And so it's called Frig, and I add it to my adaptogen moisturizer, and that is amazing. But it's really just figuring out like what things work for your skin and how you can utilize those things without overusing and being like a product junkie and trying everything.
Right. So you do believe that less is more?
I do. I do. Okay. Because your skin will like freak out. It's like, it's too much happening and we don't know what to do, sis. And we don't know how to be there for you.
Right. So what led you to CBD? What made you start saying, I want to focus on CBD as an active ingredient for my skincare?
You know, it's really interesting. So it really has nothing to do with anything except for the fact that I was researching black doctors, like black dermatologists. And there's this black dermatologist who is like a specialist. I can't even think of her name. But there was an article about her and her sister, and she's a specialist in CBD. And I forget like what her sister's specialty is. Okay. And from there, I was just down the research rabbit hole. I was like,
yeah, you're like me, the Google queen, huh?
Yeah, I was like, here we are. And so from there, I was researching brands, and then I found a black owned brand, and I was like, well, that's the one I'm going with.
Awesome. So do you mind dropping the name of the brand, or you want to first kind of get?
No. I love them. It's called Frigg. F-R-I-G-G.
F-R-I-G-G. Okay. And why Frigg out of all the other CBD companies or products out there?
They're new. They just started last year. And I really think it's important for us to lean into black entrepreneurs who are like literally up and coming, like my podcast, your brand, like us little toddlers. So
right. Speak to that. Why is it important to focus on really supporting black owned brands, but beyond just the, I want to support a black owned brand. What do you think black owned brands really focus on that we need more of?
You know, I think it's finding that white space, you know, granted, black owned brands have been out since, I mean, Carol's Daughters started, you know, decades ago. But as we continue, we see that there's always room for new brands that are being innovative. So whether it's a CBD company, whether it's Tiffany, who created Gold, which is like, for a long time, we've been adding these supplements into smoothies, but having, you know, a black person sit there and say like, okay, which things do we need? Because the skincare needs of black people are different from the skincare needs of other people. Right. We don't wrinkle as much, you know? Mm-hmm. So when we think about anti-aging, what does that look like for us?
Right.
It's not going to be aging in the sense of wrinkles. It's going to be hyperpigmentation. It's going to be melasma. So, you know, it's black owned brands that can really lean into different aspects of the industry that we may not have been focused on before.
Right. And so going back to the CBD, what are like the top two benefits that you were like really like enchanted by? Like, listen, I'm going to go in for CBD because these benefits are exactly what I need from my skincare.
The number one was inflammation. It's anti-inflammatory. It's super soothing. And I feel like when you're in kind of diverse weather situations, like my skin can get red, it can get dry. So with it being soothing, but also moisturizing, I was like, perfect. Perfect.
So bringing down the inflammation. And then what's a second benefit that we can look forward to with CBD?
I would say moisture. And you know, with this, especially with this oil, you can use it alone or you can add it to your moisturizer. Either way, you see this really nice glow. It's immediate and it's very moisturizing. And you're like, okay, perfect.
Wow. Okay. So now obviously you love skincare. And so I want you to just pivot a little bit and talk to me about your experience with hair. Especially as an actress.
My experience with hair. Are we really doing this? Of course we're doing this. Okay.
Yes, we're doing it.
So I grew up without any real hair issues. I know a lot of black girls, you know, grew up kind of feeling insecure about their hair. I grew up in the 90s, early 2000s. We all had perms.
Right.
And so to me, the idea of like representation as far as hair was everywhere. It never dawned on me that Tia and Tamara didn't have a perm. Their hair was straight. It was permed. When it was curly, I assumed that my hair also looked like that, but who knew, right?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So it never dawned on me that like everyone didn't just have a perm when their hair was straight. I also had kind of long hair, but the women in my family also have very diverse hair textures. One of my aunts has long wavy hair. The other one, my mother has like big curly Diana Ross hair, or she used to. And so it's like the way my family is set up, it, like hair was never a thing. There were things that I could not do. So I could never get box braids. My mother was convinced that those pull out your edges. Never had box braids. Got box braids for the first time in 2019.
Really?
2019. what else could I never do? I could never really wear ponytails.
Okay.
So to this day, I kind of find a way to put my hair up with bobby pins.
Okay. But
she was convinced that, like, you know, ponytails pull out your hair. So I could never really wear ponytails, right?
That's awesome. It's almost like you knew intrinsically what wasn't good for you.
She was holding it down. And then I transitioned. I ended up going to college. Post-college, I moved to New York. And the girl who had done my hair forever obviously wasn't in New York. And I was like, who's going to do my hair? And I just decided to transition into going natural. I was following Whitney White on YouTube from Natural 85.
Okay.
And she literally guided me through the process of going natural. I did it using extensions, but that's how I went natural in like 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, you know, I just kind of learned how to do my own hair. Was no big deal, no big deal until January. Until January 2018.
Okay.
And this is kind of 2018 was a really, really big year for me, because health is connected from the inside out. So at the time, I was experiencing depression. I was in my last semester of a very rigorous conservatory program for actors.
Okay.
And I didn't know I was experiencing depression. I didn't know exactly what was going on with me, but my depression started to manifest from the inside out. So I started to develop extremely, extremely dry skin on my legs where I couldn't sleep. It was itching so bad I could not sleep. And I had to go to like a dermatologist and she had to prescribe me some special medicated lotion. I was losing a patch of my hair directly in the middle. And I thought it was because I was wearing wigs and maybe it was like pulling.
Yeah.
But no, it was the depression because it was literally just like right in the middle. It was right in the middle. And I was, you know, I was worried because my mother suffers from alopecia. And I was like, well, this is the beginning. But it was because of depression. Since then, that little piece of hair has grown back and everything has kind of moved forward. But it's how I really came to realize that your mental health affects you physically. Like, it's not just, you know, people see, you know, commercials about depression and they think you just walk around sad all day. I did not walk around sad at all. You know, I was in an acting program, which means that I have to show up for my scene partner every day.
Right. You know,
I have to learn lines and give a compelling performance, no matter the fact that I am literally breaking down on the inside. My hair is falling out. My skin itches so bad that I have to sit on my hands.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So like 2018 was kind of where I really started to lean into kind of what's going into your body, how it's affecting your hair, your skin, how it's affecting you mentally. And yeah, that was kind of like that transition for me.
So help me to understand like your thought process when you see the bald spot, right? Or the small bald spot in the middle of your head.
So I blamed it on the wigs. I was like, it's the comb from the wig. But then I stopped wearing the wigs for maybe like a month and the hair is not growing back.
So did you do anything to start helping your hair to grow back?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I I guess I just felt like my mother has alopecia, and even though it's not supposed to be genetic, this is just kind of where I am, and maybe it's starting early.
So you accepted you were starting to accept it.
I was starting to accept it, because when my mother experienced alopecia my senior year of high school, seeing her go through that from then all the way up until now is the reason that I don't place a heavy load on hair.
Awesome.
Hair is not the defining factor for me, because when my mother started to lose her hair, I saw how that affected her self-esteem. She is someone who, you know, she had that big curly Diana Ross hair. She's light-skinned, she's skinny, she used to model, and seeing like a piece of her just slowly deteriorate. And it's like, this is just hair. It cannot define you like that. And so I told myself then, I said, you know, my favorite body part is my feet. Like it's going to be the part that people think is smelly and people don't want to look at or touch. I said, well, that's my favorite thing about me is these toes.
Right.
You know, so when it started happening, or when I thought it started happening to me, I just was kind of like, I was already at a point where I am not my hair. Like, this is not the thing. I can do a white man comb over, figure it out. It'll be fine. But it wasn't alopecia. It was the depression. It wasn't the wig, you know, but I wasn't even trying to make amends with it.
And so once you started to improve internally, or your mental health started to improve, that's when you noticed the improvement in your hair without you topically doing anything to it.
Exactly.
Something I want to extract from what you said, you isolated the fact that you are not your hair, and you made a conscious decision early that I'm okay. Like, I am going to just surrender this and just let it be. Like, I'm not going to focus on my hair, and I'm not going to let it control me. Right. I'm going to focus on what I can focus on, which for me and for you at that time was my mental health. What's going on with me internally? Unfortunately, you know, a lot of women may not have that strength. Right. And so I love that you really spoke to what your mother went through when she started to lose her hair, and kind of like the impact on her self-esteem, or the negative impact on her self-esteem. And that's where a lot of women are. So I want you to walk me through, you know, Beauty Needs Me podcast, and what made you decide to launch that? Where did you, at what point in your, from 2018, I don't know if it was after 2018, because you said recently you guys launched, did you say, we need to get into this space? We really need to start addressing certain issues.
You know, Beauty Needs Me came from a sense of hopelessness and my drive to never actually embrace hopelessness. So 2020, February of 2020, when COVID started, February, March are kind of pilot season for actors. And I had a phenomenal pilot season. I was like, I'm about to book something and be on TV. And then it was like, here's COVID, everything shut down. You don't get to do anything. I was producing my own short film. I had an entire team. I had invested tons of money into it. And that was shut down. Wow. And sitting on my couch, and my partner at the time worked in tech. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's busy as hell. You know, he works for Twitter. So he's super busy. Seeing him get up and even go to work in the bed every day.
Oh, in the bed, know, but working.
It started to, I started to feel a sense of envy that he had a thing, right? Right? He had something he was responsible for, and all of my hopes and dreams were kind of fading away. And what do I do anytime I'm feeling down on myself? I either cook or mix together my own beauty products.
Oh, okay.
So I, you know, it was something I was already doing. So I'm playing around with my scale and, you know,
what do you typically make?
Like, trying to, you know, test different things and see if I can create my own little concoctions, because I secretly think I'm like a mad scientist. So I'm playing around and I had a friend who was pregnant. And she was asking me, you know, my friends often ask me kind of like what to use for whatever.
Right.
And she was asking me if she could use some of my face oil that I had created. And I was like, absolutely not. I'm not approved. Like, I don't like, I was like, what if something happens to you and it affects the baby?
Right.
Yeah. You know, and from there, I was just kind of like, you know, but what if there was a platform that I could create where maybe I could just talk about these things, you know, where I could talk about, you know, creating your own space within beauty and talk about my interest in beauty and really build a community around it where, you know, other women can share their stories and my pregnant friend can gain some other knowledge and resources. And that's really how it came about. And then I wanted to do it with someone, but I wanted to do it with someone who maybe was very different from me, because one thing about Beauty Needs Me is we focus on the global aspect of beauty. It's much more than Western beauty and K-beauty. There's an underlining factor that, you know, Black women across the diaspora are instrumental to the foundation of beauty. Not only do we consume more than any other ethnicity, but, you know, also those roots of, like, you know, different ingredients that come straight from Africa.
Right.
And so my co-host Dooney is Nigerian American, and so she has a chemist background as well. And I reached out to her. I had just met her. Keep in mind, I just met her at the year of the return in what, like 2019.
So you went.
But I reached out to her. She wasn't entirely interested, and then I kind of like got her on board because she's really into African beauty. And then we just decided to kind of move forward. Like, I learned how to edit audio within 2 weeks. You know, I did like tons of research on how to create a podcast, and, you know, from there.
So
we launched on Juneteenth.
Oh, awesome. So talk to me, and I'm curious, this is just a weird question that I want to ask, but what was your first episode? What was that opening episode?
Oh, that first episode was a hair episode. That first episode, we had Angela C. Styles, and we were able to get her. So she's a Emmy Award winning hairstylist, and she has a wig line and she has an extension line. And she won her Emmy from being the hairstylist on The Talk. But Angela is from Chicago. I'm from Chicago. And we have a mutual friend. And so I just reached out to my homegirl, like, can you connect me with Angela? Angela agreed. And that was our first guest, because I was like, I don't actually know how to like solicit people unless I know them. So like our first three guests, I mean, Angela, we had my best friend, Sam, who is the founder of Desalu Skincare. And then we had Dooney's cousin, who founded a nude underwear line, like pantyhose line, out in London. And so, like, our first few guests were just through connections.
Wow. And this is all encompassing beauty. We're talking about hair, skin, lifestyle. We're talking about the best clothes. And these are all Black owners.
All Black founders. Yeah. And granted, we've had guests who weren't Black. But we do think that it's really important that even when we have guests of other ethnicities, to kind of bridge that gap, you know, like our goal is to show that we are all more similar than we are different. And at the end of the day, skin is not like, oh, well, you're, you know, Nigerian, but you're from, I don't know, Jamaica. It's like, all we know is that the skin is the skin, and affect sunscreen, but really, you know, topicals like a vitamin C or a, you know, hyaluronic acid, skin is skin. Mm-hmm. It's affecting us all the same.
Right. So what's next for the podcast? What is like the big goal at this point that you really want to focus on as far as, you know, your communication and talking to your community?
I think right now we really just want to make sure that people feel like they have a place where they can ask questions and get whatever knowledge they feel like they need, but from people who are not, I mean, we're not experts. Like we're two women who do research and we're happy to share our knowledge with everyone, but we wanted to feel friendly, like two homegirls talking to you in your living room. If you ever listen to the podcast, we curse, like we are not, we are not like beauty has always kind of felt like this like secret club. And we're like, no, it's for everyone. We all participate and we all should feel comfortable within the space. And there are multiple personalities that can exist within it. Everything is not, you know, this white glove policy. Everything doesn't come from France. It's like, we're all in there and we're all doing our thing.
I love that. I love that you said it's like you want to feel like you're just having, like you're just sipping and chatting with your homegirls.
Yeah.
We're just talking about stuff that we're supposed to talk about, you know?
Stuff that we're talking about anyway, you know, only now it's being recorded.
And you're literally opening, you're expanding so that everybody else could be a part of the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because when you think about skincare and you think about skin being your largest organ, like, so whether it's your scalp to like your feet, like it's all skin that has to be maintained. And as much as we focus on like, especially Black people trying to retain some hair length and shit, it's like your scalp needs love. Like your actual scalp where the hair follicles are, like that should be our focus. Everything else is trivial.
Right. Right. I thank you so much, Talia. This was such a great conversation. And I'm telling you, you're definitely going to come back. You're just going to be back here, but more of it as like a co-host, like just talking to this doctor and asking these great questions. You guys don't know, she asks amazing questions. You guys have to check out her podcast. Where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Talia Griffin. It's just my name, super basic. I don't have anything fancy. no dollar signs, underscores, just Talia Griffin. And you can find Beauty Needs Me on Instagram at Beauty Needs Me. And you can listen to us wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple, everywhere. We're everywhere.
Yes. We're going to try to extract a clip from Beauty Needs Me. We need to push it out there, see what people are saying about. Yes. Thank you so much for joining us on Supernaturals. Girl, come back.
I will be back.
Take care.
Bye.